to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we visit with John Connolly, the president of Interblock, on his company's strategy to become the leader in the field of electronic table games. The GGB podcast is sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal, online, and land-based gaming licensed in New Jersey. This world from dragging me down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back. Interblock was founded in 1997 by computer whiz Jacques Pasenik in Slovenia. Since that time, the company's unique electronic table game products have been developing and advancing. When Pasenik hired former Bally executive John Connolly as president 2 years ago, the world has changed and ETJs are growing by double-digit percentages. Connolly has helped introduce some major changes in the products and the approach to the casino floor. Interblock's Pulse Arena concept could be the answer to attracting millennials and developing new players across the board. He spoke with me at his offices in Las Vegas last month for the cover story of the April edition of GGB. John Connolly, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Great to get together with you here in Las Vegas. We saw each other was in London, and you had a killer show there, from what I understand.
Yeah, great. Thank you for taking the time. Yeah, we are very fortunate. We had a little bit more success than we were anticipating out of the European community, especially related to our new Pulse product.
Sure, great. Well, you know, we've been a fan of Interblock for a long time here. The products have always been top of the line and always something completely different than you see anywhere else. So we're glad that we can get together with you and talk about where you're doing right now.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the e-tables. I mean, they've been popular, you know, in smaller casinos of Europe just because of, you know, space problems and staffing problems. But how do you change your marketing message to attract the large casinos in the U.S. and elsewhere?
Well, you know, I think it depends on the environment. You know, a lot of the demographics, depending on where we're looking at, are different. But I think the common thread we're seeing across not only the larger casinos in North America but globally is that they're really looking to attract new players, and they're really looking to bring some energy back to the casino floor that's been perhaps lacking, and some innovation onto the casino floor.
Right.
So we've been spending a lot of our time the past 12 months and really focusing our R&D dollars into that type of innovation. And the Pulse Arena, which we had at G2E Vegas and in London, is just one example of the innovation we're coming out with this year. There'll be more in the months to come.
Okay.
But we're finding that there seems to be a resounding appetite from the casino groups, especially the larger ones with a very large footprint that they're trying to attract that energy and player traffic to the Pulse Arena. So we haven't been announcing all of our deals, but I can share with you that we are currently finalizing 5 Pulse Arena deals, and we've already signed a very large deal in Quebec, and we'll be going live with the first Pulse Arena somewhere around the May timeframe.
Okay, great. So these larger North American casinos are now warming to the ETGs much more than they had in the past.
North American especially, when you look at the percentages, under 1% of the North American casinos have ETGs on their floor. When I say I'm under 1%, I'm under 1% of the floor footprint itself.
Right, sure.
When you compare that to international, you can find 15 to 20% of a floor. So, you know, the opportunity in North America is tremendous to, even if you just consider penetrating just a single percent, you're looking at, you know, $100 million in EBITDA potential. So a lot of our energy, as you can imagine, the past 6 months has been focused on building out North America. And the appetite of the casinos, provided that you have, I call it a product segment strategy, where, you know, Bellagio's appetite for a high-end ETG product is something Interblock's been quite successful at historically. However, when you get to more the mid and smaller tier casinos with a lower net win per day, that's something Interblock historically has not had as wide a product offering as we will in 2016. So we're seeing that due to that product segmentation and diversity, we're getting a lot more appeal at multiple levels. And for that reason, we're seeing double-digit growth currently. So
sure,
we're excited.
Great. That is exciting. You know, I remember when you had the big pit in Revel when it opened in Atlantic City. That was completely different. Is that really what you think is happening here, that the casinos want to see something that nobody's ever seen before, basically?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. You know, we're seeing less and less, at least in our discussions, casinos wanting to talk about a single ETG, roulette or blackjack or craps on their floor. The conversations are starting to tend more towards sections of the floor, areas that perhaps are underperforming or areas of the floor that they would like to make an ETG pit. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, we're starting to hear perhaps removing one of their table pits to create an electronic table game pit. Mm-hmm. So, and due to the labor costs, due to the costs of managing a traditional pit, the pure savings on operational side in many cases is paying for the electronic table games. So for various reasons, we're definitely seeing more of, as you pointed out, an area of the floor being more dedicated to the ETG, which coincides with our belief that within the next 5 years, when people refer to the casino floor, it will no longer be slots and tables.
Right.
It'll be slots, tables, and ETGs.
Okay. Well, you don't have to confirm this with me or not, but I was talking to a high-level MGM executive last week, and he said there in the MGM Grand area that's under the big dome that used to be the Wizard of Oz space, they're doing like a millennial lounge. And, of course, I immediately thought about Interblock, and you know, that would fit perfectly into the Pulse Arena. So, again, you don't have to confirm it, but it would fit in there. Is that correct?
That would be an amazing opportunity if it was presented.
Right. And Caesars has been talking about the same thing. They actually talked about it on their conference call, their earnings call last week as well. So there seems to be a lot of interest in from the big companies as well as from the smaller casinos now.
Yeah, it was I had the marketing department ran just a quick query for me heading into the London show on the press releases from all the major suppliers and operators. Mm-hmm. And what was fascinating is over 80% of the releases that came out pre-ICE had reference to some form of either millennial, electronic table game, looking for innovation on the floor. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely demand. The question is who's going to identify the next killer product.
Sure, no question about that. So your background is really in the single-player slot machine, you know, with all your years at Bally's. And you brought in people to this company like Rob Bone, you know, Colleen in the marketing department, people that have experience in that area. Have you adapted to the multiplayer format right now and the unique configurations of the way that they set up? And tell me what your learning curve was like when you first came aboard.
Well, that's a great question. Obviously, you can't replace 25 years of history in a private company. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jacques and the existing Interblock team that's been here for decades, there's no way, no matter who you bring in, and we brought in some great talent around the world from IGT, Aruze, WMS, Bally, Cygames, you name it. But to expect them to become ETG experts relative to, you know, Interblock's history, I think would be a stretch. I think what I've tried to do is really maintain that historical knowledge base within the company and that innovation that existed within the company and really complement it with people that know global gaming.
Right.
And quite frankly, allow them to complement each other from a standpoint of opening new markets, creating, let's say, a more structured foundation to support the growth.
Right.
And quite frankly, trying to bring innovation to the ETG product that perhaps isn't just as cut and dry as a roulette, blackjack, baccarat, craps.
Right.
How do we take those core products and really increase the hold percentage? How do we come up with concepts like the Pulse Arena? The Pulse Arena was accumulation of both traditional gaming people with Interblock historical knowledge. Mm-hmm. So really evolving the ETG segment to the next level using the best of both worlds.
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned Pulse Arena a few times, so let's explain what it is before we go any further. It is a very impressive area that has a lot of excitement, but explain how it actually works for the casinos.
You know, the best way to explain it is taking, you know, what we believe, you know, taking the best of Interblock, our core ETG products, but wrapping it in an environment. Mm-hmm. And when I say wrapping in an environment is that we statistically know that ETG segment of the casino industry is growing double digits globally. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few areas that we can say that about.
Right.
So we know that there is a demand by players for ETGs. What we're trying to do is accelerate that player education, player appeal, acceptance, mm-hmm. And market penetration. And we did that by wrapping the core products of Interblock with an environment that hopefully, and we believe to be, more appealing to a wider variety of demographics. Mm-hmm. And to do that, essentially that Pulse environment that encompasses the ETGs, it's dynamic. During the day, we can have Frank Sinatra, we can have Keno going on inside, mm-hmm. We can have a mood that is very much conducive to perhaps an older clientele. Mm-hmm. But then technologically, with the push of a button, we can go into an evening mode where the music gets louder, the lights are brighter, we have dancers, a DJ, a host, and incorporate a lot new, different and new features and functionality mm-hmm. on the ETG that really makes it more of a social environment. So you're gaming while socializing. And one example would be when you're at an ETG, you can literally chat with other players at other ETGs mm-hmm. within the Pulse Arena
right.
back and forth.
Right.
As just one example, we do tournaments progressive. Mm-hmm. So the concept is, and we're getting a very a wide acceptance, is to take an area of the casino floor, really reinvigorate it, not only with a leading product in a segment that's growing, but with an environment that will, instead of people walking by the casino floor, going to the pool, shopping, shops, nightclubs, restaurants, but perhaps pulling them onto the casino floor, whereas before they would have walked by.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's talk about your most popular products, which you're incorporating into the Pulse. What are some of the products that you'll find in there?
So we have intentionally integrated all of the leading products of Interblock inside. Mm-hmm. So you have, and what I mean by that is we have both an automated. Mm-hmm. So we made sure that at the slowest times during the day, rather than having to staff the Pulse Arena with 15 employees, mm-hmm. we can go into an automated mode.
Right.
So the generators in the front are self mechanical, mm-hmm. meaning they will spin the ball, they will deal the cards. We will have video blackjack up on the screen. Mm-hmm. So you can have very low infrastructure costs and still maintain that environment.
Right.
And then obviously during peak hours, we can go to a semi or virtual dealer or dealer mm-hmm. assist mode,
right.
where the dealers stand up there. They actually spin the ball, deal the cards, et cetera. So we have blackjack, roulette, craps, baccarat. We have Keno, all the main Sicbo, all the main games that you'd find on the traditional table portfolio. But what we're adding to that on a quarterly basis are additional features and functionality, mm-hmm. as I mentioned before, such as new types of tournaments. Mm-hmm. So when the players come back over and over again, they're getting a new experience as they go inside. We're adding progressives. We're adding chat. We're adding social media. So I think this is not just a product that you can say is turnkey and stands as it is today.
Right.
It's something that's going to continuously evolve mm-hmm. into the future.
Okay. And it looks like a sports book, basically, with all the screens on the wall and every terminal you can play whatever game you want from that terminal for the most part.
That's correct. And what's nice is that as you find and get comfortable in your seat within the Pulse Arena while mm-hmm. you're gaming, you have the ability to not only watch TV or interact socially, you have the ability without getting up to play virtually every game offered from a live table perspective.
Sure. Okay.
So it's all integrated, dynamic within the Pulse Arena.
Okay. The gameplay is riveting on Interblock games, no matter what game you're playing, but they also look great. I mean, you know, you've really gone out of your way to make the terminals and the central wheel or whatever game you're playing look spectacular. Why did you go like the extra mile to that? Because, I mean, people could play on, I don't want to say competition, but some of your competition is pretty utilitarian.
If you know our founder, Jack Pochechnik, you would, you know, I think that answers your question because he's not the type of individual to ever be satisfied. Mm-hmm. He's always looking to innovate
right.
and take the electronic table gaming segment to the next level. Mm-hmm. So I don't see us ever really stopping from an innovation perspective and trying new things.
Right.
Obviously, you know, not everything can be a home run.
Right.
But I think you'll see heading into G2E this year that we have increased our roadmap and the resources supporting our roadmap dramatically mm-hmm. in the past 12 months.
Sure.
Specifically to try to bring the, as you put, the brand and the look and the feel of Interblock.
Right.
Without obviously hindering what's
sure.
worked
right.
To the next level. So Pulse is one example, but you're going to see lots of new things mm-hmm. Over the next 6 months as well.
Right. Well, you know, as I mentioned, the terminal looks great, but you know, when you add the signage to it, the dynamic signage, and of course the very comfortable seating that you have there too. I mean, it's all part of the package.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jacques' philosophy historically has always been, you know, a luxury product.
Mm-hmm.
And the analogy I've always used since I've joined is, you know, when you think about Mercedes, you know, Mercedes has an S class, an E class, and a C class.
Right.
But they all represent luxury, all mm-hmm. quality.
Sure.
So what we've been successful in doing the past 12 months is really taking what Jacques created, which is this amazing S class Mercedes.
Right.
And with his help, we are in the process of launching our E class.
Mm-hmm.
And by G2E Vegas, we'll be launching our C class.
Okay.
And that is exciting because in North America, only 22% of the casinos have ever had an Interblock product on their floor.
Right. Yeah.
We've really been unable to penetrate a lot of the mm-hmm. casinos due to the cost and price point nature
right.
of Interblock.
Mm-hmm.
And that is quickly changing, and it's an exciting time for us to offer, as you pointed out, this beautiful product and what it represents, but be able to do it now across all casinos.
Mm, great. Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGamingPlayer is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGamingPlayer delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news, play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGamingPlayer uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks and mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing. So you mentioned the way you could message each other from the different terminals. But live table games have always benefited, you know, from interaction amongst the players. I mean, I remember the old days seeing the video blackjack dealer and everybody high-fiving around the table when they won. Tell us how that works with the Interblock products.
You know, by design, what we're finding, the more player research we do, is that we seem to be being a melting pot between slot players who have always wanted to try a table game but mm-hmm. afraid.
Right.
Table players who perhaps haven't liked the environment of a live table, mm-hmm. a traditional table.
Right.
If you've ever played at those, there can be some experiences that aren't so fun.
It can be intimidating
or you can have someone at the table who perhaps isn't paying attention, mm-hmm. slows the game down.
Right.
Or if you've ever walked to a very full roulette table, trying to reach over everybody to place your bets is mm-hmm. not easy. So the ETG, and then obviously the millennials themselves coming into the
right.
casinos are looking for something perhaps a little more interactive.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're finding is that the ETG we've been offering seems to be really attracting a new dollar onto the casino floor. It's not cannibalizing.
Mm-hmm.
And attracting both existing and new players. Now, to the degree that's going to sustain itself as the footprint expands, we haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, you know,
sure.
we're under 1% of the floor in North America, so
right.
I think we have a ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, the indications are that the players really seem to be liking the fact that they have their own environment. Over 80% of the surveys we did, we said, what was your most compelling argument to go up to the ETG other than the way it looked?
Right.
And resoundingly, it was, I had my own environment I could gamble from.
Mm-hmm.
It was consistent, meaning the play was consistent.
Right.
And if I felt like socializing, I was able to socialize. If I felt like having my own seclusion
mm-hmm.
and focus on what I wanted to do,
right.
You were able to. Whereas a live table environment doesn't always provide you that.
Right. Well, you mentioned the research. You did some research showing that ETGs attract younger gamblers. Why do you think that is?
You know, I can just provide you data. I don't want to, you know, we're in the early stages of really learning about ETGs. There's been very little research historically, but we believe we did do one of the first outsourcing of player research and focus groups. And, you know, the millennials, when you look online, so one of the few places we've been able to research is that when you look at players online wagering or even on social sites, where they're not winning any money, it's more entertainment. Virtual credits, per se. Players over 50 are playing predominantly slots. Quite frankly, over 90% are playing slots. But when you go to players under 40, it flips. Over 90% are playing table games. So there's definitely been a cultural shift between two generations from slots to tables. So when those players seem to come out to the casino floor, they're predominantly leaning towards tables. And because they've played online and are used to perhaps a touch screen, a computer screen, having an ETG sitting there seems to be attracting a younger demographic because they are able to be social if they want to. And the rate of play is much faster. And as we know, the younger generation, they don't like to wait as long for things. So I think the speed of the game, the consistency, the ability to be social if they care to be, the product, as people say, looks pretty sexy. So it attracts you over. So So we think that's obviously part of the reason.
Some of the things that I found interesting in your products is you alter the rules of the games a bit to make them more interesting for the players and more of a whole percentage for the casino. For example, the lucky shooter bet on craps or the lucky aces and nines bet on blackjack, the high tie bet on baccarat. I mean, these are all kind of innovations that you don't see on the actual live table game. How has the reception been on these bets from your players and also from your customers?
You know, that's a great point. You know, one of the challenges of an ETG, especially the more successful ETGs, is that they are designed to be very much like a table game. So as a player migrates from a traditional table game or has the expectation of a traditional table game, when they walk over to the ETG, it has to play like it. And for that reason, the whole percentage is very much like a table game. Excuse me. And that is give or take 4%. It can range. Whereas a slot's 10. So what you're finding now is that there is a huge emphasis being placed on side bets. Trying to increase that whole percentage. To make it a little bit more, obviously, exciting, compelling to players who are used to playing side bets on the live tables, on slot games, bonus features. there, at least from an Interblock perspective, we are putting more emphasis in that area for two reasons. A better gaming experience, but two, increasing that whole percentage obviously makes the product more profitable for the casinos.
For example, on blackjack, I guess on roulette too, you must have the option of single zero or double zero on roulette. On blackjack, do you have the option of like standing on a soft 17 and you know, surrenders, various types of surrender, all those things? Do you offer that to the casinos and let them pick and choose?
Yeah, that's a great question. So on blackjack, there's been a lot of innovation the past 12 months on blackjack. I would say historically, roulette and baccarat were the two primary drivers because roulette is more of a global game in nature. And baccarat as well for the Asian players. Whereas when you look at blackjack or craps, it's regionalized. So they tended to get less attention and focus perhaps historically than they now are. Blackjack has definitely been getting a lot of attention the past 12 months. The numbers we're seeing, as example, as Interblock on one of the major casinos in New York, we're generating between 800 during the week and 1,100 net win per day on a video blackjack. So the emphasis in R&D dollars that's gone into, at least from our standpoint, our blackjack, we now offer multi-hand. We offer dealer assist blackjack. We have side bets on blackjack. We can, as you pointed out, you can double down, you can stand. So we've really, our newest version of blackjack that came out mid 2015, and we have a second version coming out in the next few months, is very much in line with what you would find at a live table. However, really trying to use technology to increase the speed of play and provide more features and functionality to the player. Again, designed to increase that whole percentage.
Okay.
How are the winners on ETGs determined? I mean, you mentioned New York. I think New York has that class two type of thing, right? I mean, skill can't come into play, but in other jurisdictions, you know, you want that skill aspect of the game. Is it depend on where the casino is, really?
You know, when it comes to ETGs, what's nice about it, unlike, you know, perhaps in the slot business and other areas, the math behind the games is the math. Roulette math has always been roulette math.
Right.
Single, double, zero. You really can't touch that if you want to be successful.
Right.
You must mirror the play experience versus a traditional game for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
Now, if you want to add something to it, you can do so, provided it's at the player's discretion. You can't force them.
Right, right.
So what you'll find is that the math on a blackjack, the math on a craps, a roulette, a baccarat, is identical to the traditional table games. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think you'd have a tough time really gaining a big footprint. So,
sure.
So the classification globally for us, for all intents and purposes, the game plays the same, whether it be in North America or Asia.
Mm-hmm. And the reward for the players would be the same.
Okay. Exactly.
Great. A couple of years ago, Interblock introduced this holographic game at G2E. There was the talk of the show. Everybody was amazed at it, but it never really took off at that point anyway. Have you refined that, and can it still be a viable product in the casino industry?
You know, I remember that product prior to joining Interblock.
Right, yeah.
And I, like a lot of people, I was just amazed at the technology. And I think it goes to the fact of you know, the founder and the innovation capability of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that hologram technology to this day, there are still efforts to revitalize that product.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a new entrant the past year running Interblock, what I can say is that the way we launch products now versus historically is extremely different.
Mm-hmm.
We're much more focused on product lifecycle,
sure.
Beta testing,
mm-hmm.
Ensuring that we have some data behind product launch.
Right.
Whereas historically, we tended to do a lot of our testing and our innovation live in the fields with the customers. And I think, unfortunately, the hologram technology at the time was ahead of its time,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
meaning that it was so innovative.
Right.
And it went out there. It really probably needed to have its hand held a little bit longer and more tightly.
Right.
To get hold in the market.
Right.
And I think as I see the industry evolve, I think if we were to launch the hologram technology today all over again, based on where the market is and the thirst for innovation,
right,
we'd probably see a completely different experience. So long-winded answer to your question, we are looking at the hologram again, only because I think that perhaps the market is more prepared to implement a technology like that, and we're probably more prepared as a company to support it.
Okay. Well, another innovation that didn't quite get the big launch this year at G2E was the virtual reality goggles. they were much kind of hidden in the back of the booth rather than out in front the way the holographic thing was. But is that something that's also, you know, in R&D right now, and you'll roll that out when it's ready to go?
Yeah, that is something that, again, Jock is a big believer in, our founder, and I support him saying that, you know, at some point in the future, you can easily see how, you know, every home's going to have some form of that technology.
Right.
So I think it's more a message to the industry showing that we're not only thinking about 6 months out, we're thinking about 3 years out.
Okay.
So from an R&D perspective, we have pools of capital that we allocate, and some of that capital is definitely allocated towards things more in the forefront in the future.
Hey, how you doing?
Jeff, nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, too.
Can I leave it out? I think, you know, that is just an example of how you never know,
right,
when something's going to hit, and we just want to make sure we're prepared.
Sure, no question. That's a great thing to be prepared for, because that is going to roll over everybody at some point, and we don't even realize it yet.
Exactly.
Let's talk about some of the markets. I mean, obviously, a prime market has to be Macau, where the table games are regulated. You can't have, you know, a certain amount of tables, but the ETGs are less, you know, are certainly put more players into one ETG table, which can be, of course, like the stadium arenas you were seeing there. Is that one of your main markets right now that you're trying to penetrate even more so?
You're talking about the Macau market?
Macau, yeah, and Singapore for that matter.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll be making a press release here probably within the next 30 days of a major transaction we've done in Asia Pacific.
Okay.
And we most recently just went live in Studio City, mm-hmm. Macau.
Right.
If you recall, most ETG suppliers outside of LT Gaming were having trouble penetrating that market for several years.
Mm-hmm.
We're proud to say that we're the first ETG player or supplier back into the Macau market.
Okay.
And that was several months ago.
Okay.
And since then, the demand for the Interbrock product has been overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're one of our fastest growing areas, what I can share with you, one of our fastest growing areas in the company is mm-hmm. the Asian market.
Okay.
Asians very much have accepted the ETG product.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great benchmark for what North America could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the Asia market, 15% of the floor in Macau, 15% of the floor in Singapore or more,
mm-hmm.
Vietnam, Cambodia, you go across Asia, Malaysia's about mm-hmm. to do some major expansions on ETGs, mm-hmm. significant. It shows that there is definitely this third leg that I was referencing earlier, which is not just slots and tables, it's ETG.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, it's an amazing opportunity for our company to expand.
Right.
And then most recently, to even support that market even further, we opened an office in Sydney,
mm-hmm.
Australia, with a complete infrastructure and team. So, you know, although Macau may be from a junket perspective going through a transition, I can say from an ETG perspective, it's full steam ahead.
Right. And you're also, again, in the sweet spot there because they're trying to bring in more mass market people, which are not the VIP people who probably just want to play the live table games. You're going to bring in people that like the table games but, you know, can't afford to sit at a VIP game.
That's correct.
And the excitement there is just palpable when you see the arena there and you hear people cheering, you know, for their game that they're playing. It's just an amazing phenomenon over there.
Well, and if you think about it, the Pulse Arena is really that concept on steroids because,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're used to seeing stadium seating in Asia.
Right.
Whereas in the United States, seeing an ETG stadium setup is not very common.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to change.
Yeah.
We are in the process of discussing several deals which are exactly that,
mm-hmm.
stadium seating,
right.
like you would find in Asia,
mm-hmm.
but in the North American market.
Right.
And in many cases, the conversation ends with, well, why don't we just wrap it with the Pulse Arena?
Right.
So I think if you consider the stadium concept, you know, there's two versions. One is your standard.
Right.
And one is your luxury Pulse environment.
Right.
And I think we're going to be able to, before G2E this year,
mm-hmm.
have several well-known casinos live with a stadium standard or Pulse
mm-hmm.
concept.
Okay.
That will, I think, generate a lot of buzz going into G2E. Is this truly the next wave of growth?
Sure. Sounds like Pulse on steroids to me.
Pulse on steroids. Exactly.
And what are some of your other big markets? I mean, obviously Europe, where the company is based, but again, that's, you know, limited just because there's only a certain amount of casinos and casino floor space there. What are you looking for otherwise? South America, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, without getting too much detail, I think we're, you know, quarter over quarter, what's exciting, and I think, you know, numbers are a true testament to a segment or to a company, is we're seeing 25% quarter over quarter growth
mm-hmm.
in our recurring revenue install base.
Right.
And that growth, you know, from my standpoint, I'm very happy that it's diversified across Asia Pacific to Latin America to North America, and even now, believe it or not, which is very uncommon, parts of Europe, because
as we all know,
in Europe, recurring revenue models are probably the most difficult in any product in the world.
Sure.
I don't care if it's slots or systems or ETGs, but we're seeing growth and revenue increase across all our regions in the double digits.
Yeah.
And part of that is because, quite frankly, Interblock historically had not focused on several key areas of the globe.
Right.
Historically. Right. For example, Australia or the Pacific region, Latin America. And then, surprisingly enough, there was, I would say, 20% or higher of the U.S. regulated markets that we had not yet opened,
right,
which we now have opened. Mm-hmm. So it's an exciting time only because, you know, we're opening these new markets and have a proven product that simply we're able to implement now.
Right.
So, you know, excited and pleased that right now the growth's coming from across the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, one last question. We just saw the regulations for skill games being approved in New Jersey last week. Of course, Nevada did it earlier. Where does Interblock stand on the skill games question?
So that's a very difficult question. It's difficult in one sense. Where we stand as Interblock is simple. We are investing a percentage of our R&D dollars into that, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's simple in nature. The difficult part is really where we see how much to invest and really where we see that particular area of the business going. Mm-hmm. I guess the best way to describe that is the jury's still out from our perspective as to how skill-based will really impact the bottom line of the casinos and how much emphasis we should put there versus focusing on an area, at least for us,
right,
that's growing quite rapidly.
Yeah, like you say, you've got double-digit growth in all these other areas.
So you want to be careful not to take your eye off the ball.
Sure.
But you have to be mindful that skill-based is something to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm.
That could fit very well into the Pulse Arena type of environment as well.
With those big screens and those stations and that environment, absolutely. And you hit it on the head. One of the few areas we are investing in relative to skill-based is the Pulse Arena.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cautious.
Yeah.
In that area, I think I would rather be second or third to market.
Sure.
I don't think I want to be first.
No, and that's understandable for sure, especially when you have so much growth going on in other areas of the business. So John, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it. We've been following the company a long time, and it's finally great to see it taking that great leap forward, and we're going to continue to follow you and see what happens. I can't wait for next G2E, what you're going to put out there then.
Well, I'm looking forward to showing you, and again, thanks for your time, and we appreciate all that you do for the industry as well.
Thanks for listening to the GGB podcast, sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading licensed affiliate marketing site delivering players to legal U.S. online casinos and poker rooms. If you want to hear more gaming podcasts, visit our website, ggbmagazine.com, for all the news of the casino industry and to access the Casino Talk podcast with Brooke Dunn. Until then, join us next week for the GGB podcast, sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com.